Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. Today, the show is about feeding the hunger, but not your usual victims of hunger. Short story. When I was an undergraduate, I never had to worry about meals. I lived at home, had a part-time job, went to classes, got my degree. But now there are students who live on the streets, go to classes, try and graduate, and all without eating. Period. With me this afternoon is Esther Zapata and Leo Gamboa. They're with a new campus organization called Minor Connection. They connect UTEP students, faculty, and staff with food items so they can function as the rest of us do. Welcome to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you for inviting us.
Okay. I already kicked open the door. It's wide open about hunger. It happens to all of us, but even more so when you have to pay all of these costs for tuition, books, because it's a necessary thing in order to become a university student. A lot of kids, people don't realize, have to make a choice between that biology book for 1301 or food for the next week.
Oh, absolutely. I think what people don't realize is that this is an academic issue that has been going on for a while. Like you said, you suffered through it in the 70s. And it happens in the whole nation. It is not a Latino or a minority issue. It is an academic issue. We have seen it in Oregon State that they declared about 59%, Hawaii about 42%. When we did our survey and our research, we found that it was about 24%, 25% here at UTEP. And that is very low compared to other places that have done actual research. So I think the next step is to continue studying food insecurity here on campus.
Yeah, because how food insecurity affects our campus is still quite an invisible story.
Mm-hmm.
And, we wouldn't know the story. We won't know the story if we don't collaborate in terms of students here at UTEP helping or looking out for other minors. Which totally sparked us when we were doing the research to kind of collaborate and join platforms with faculty and staff and people in administration, because you can move forward like that and be able to have different departments and deans create opportunities for us to learn more about this invisible story.
And what was really interesting is that we wanted to do something that was fast and effective. And so when we were doing our research, we found out that there were a couple of underground or student pantries that were run under the table. And our mission became to create an official food pantry here at UTEP, which we are actually calling an emergency pantry because we're also accepting school supplies and toiletries.
Like personal items.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's curious, the research that y'all did is from students who wanted to respond. And in my mind, I'm also thinking the number that you put out there at 24% is probably a lot larger, except that in this particular society that we live in here on the border, there are a lot of kids who would feel almost ashamed to even admit that they go through classes every day hungry. They would much rather just, no, I don't want to respond. But I suspect those numbers are a lot larger.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, we do not know because, you know, they did answer voluntarily. We did have a couple of students who opened up and cried to us saying, like, this is needed. You know, thank you. I mean, I survived off the food pantry here on campus. More research needs to be done. I seriously expect the numbers to be a lot larger. But right now, our very first solution was let's at least open that door so that way the stigma associated and the shame associated with being hungry is a little bit diminished, or it's completely gone eventually.
Completely pulverized, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because when you think of it in terms of how a student juggles with life, you know, I like to use the whole metaphor of life and going to school being a juggling act. And you have different, you know, you're juggling different items of different sizes and different densities. And one of them is food. Somehow along the way, in your life trajectory here on campus, you dropped the ball on food. And it's fine. It's life. It happens to everyone.
Mm-hmm. And it can happen. It can be something that you were brought up with. It's been...
Yeah, like chronic
food insecurity.
Low food security.
And then all of a sudden, it's just... You lose your job today, you know, and you're hungry. How do you survive?
Yeah.
Or, you know, you just got your financial aid and all of a sudden you get to class and it's a $300 math book plus the $50, you know, handbook and the calculator. And those costs keep rising. And then all of a sudden you realize you did not budget for food. Or maybe you did budget for food, but then all of a sudden you become sick and you don't have the food that you are required to eat now.
You got a big ticket. You got in a car crash. I mean, there are so many things intersect with why people may or may not know where the next meal is going to come from. Minor Connection provides a hand that you know, pats you on the back and says, hey, it's fine. Mm-hmm. It happens to all of us. And if you think of it in terms of a pat on the back or like, hey, buddy, this happened to me kind of relationship with Minor Connection and minors. If you think of it like that, then this is a service provided to minors to be academically successful, to be where they need to be or where they should be in terms of their development as minors. Mm-hmm. Because everything is about nutrition. If you track it back to... You know, how's your nutrition like? Like, are you eating well? Have you been fed? Oh, you know, I can't concentrate. I failed my test. I didn't have breakfast this morning. All that is tied together, and that's what we believe in, basically. The essential part of what we do is to be where we need to be in terms of our academic. Because, like Esther said, it's an academic issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that can really be ignored. Then you're not really understanding the students that come to UTEP.
Or any school, for that
matter.
Or any
school, sure.
You know, now think about it. I mean, okay.
I agree.
You know, we have federal lunch and breakfast programs for, you know, kids pre-K through senior and high school. And then we seem to forget that university students coming out of that environment where they had help federally, in some form or another, now they're out on their own, and it's like, I'm still struggling to have to be able to do all this.
Yeah, definitely. And there has been a lot of research done in hunger or food security in pre-K all the way to high school. And like you said, it is completely forgotten. When we talked to the National Commission on Hunger, it was something that was addressed because they did not realize that the numbers were so high for university students. How does a nation not realize that students are going hungry? And that was my biggest concern.
Oh, I have that concern all the time. It's kind of like one of those things that keep you from sleeping. But I think that in terms of higher education, like universities and colleges, the model is so corporate that you are in this to buy your degree that it's forgotten that education is about service and bettering someone or the community or something.
Right.
That if the whole discourse of, well, can you afford it or can you not, is very strong. It's a strong sort of rugged individualistic mentality that you're out of college and you're out of high school, excuse me, and you're entering whole college and you should be able to afford it.
All of a sudden you're privileged.
You've mm-hmm. got it, yeah. That you're in college now, okay? You better write complete sentences, you know, kind of thing.
Kind of spell everything correctly, could you?
Yeah, your MLA. It updates every so often, you know. And with that is the whole idea that your life is put together. Mm-hmm. But, well, what does that mean?
Exactly. A lot of students are going to college in order to not only better themselves, but better the status, the social and economic standing of their family and of their community. And yet, here they are, students, trying to figure out, well, should I seriously photocopy my book or borrow my friends and not write on it in order for my family to be able to have food? It's really complicated because one of the things that happens with food insecurity or food security is that there is no real definition that we can say, yes, this is what it means. According to USDA, it means nutritious food. Well, do you buy 3 apples because, you know, they're there and it's nutritious, or do you buy that bag of chips that's going to last you 2 days?
That was on sale.
Right.
That was at your local market. Mm-hmm. Where you didn't have to drive.
Exactly, yeah. And you're going to get the high calorie. So then we see that this whole student food security issue is not only academic, and it's not only affecting us while we are at school and we're trying to focus at school, but it's also like affecting us at home when we're developing diabetes, and we have this global paradox where you're hungry and your food's insecure, but you're obese and you have cholesterol and you have diabetes. Mm-hmm. So how do we, as college students and as being the educated ones, put an end to this? I mean, if somebody can end food insecurity within a campus, it has to be the students.
Right. Right. It's got to be.
Which is why we decided to go grassroots. And there's a lot of politics and that kind of reputation attached to the word grassroots. But it's more emic. And I like to see it in terms of the anthropological view, is that we're doing policy from the insider's perspective, for students by students, and we negotiate these methods with administration as a registered organization. Mm-hmm. And the word official to us means a lot because it assures longevity. By having an official space designated for donations, we make history somehow that this will stay active for a long time. Whereas with things being run under the table, there's an impermanence to it. It's from one day to the next, the people involved with this unofficial food pantry may or may not, you know, be running it anymore.
Right. Right.
We don't want that. We want to be official. We want to.
Right, because the cycle, would have to continue itself. You know, you have a graduating senior, you got an incoming freshman. You bring them through the system, they start learning how to run the pantry. So by the time they're getting ready to graduate, they're bringing another generation through, and another, and another, and another. And by the time we get to the 22nd century, the food pantry that y'all have created will have run such a beautiful course. Look at all the people you're going to wind up feeding.
Hopefully.
Well,
that's,
you know,
there's a hope.
Sure, it starts small, but it builds, and that's one of the reasons why we're doing this radio segment now, because it's time that people kind of realize. You know, oftentimes we will give at Thanksgiving, at Easter, at Christmas, because it's convenient and it relieves us of guilt, and we feed the homeless. But you know what? There are so many thousands of people out there who really need food. The senior citizens in this community need food. The E1s and the E2s in the military, they've depleted our food pantries because they can't feed their own, and that's government doing that. But here, we have students who need. And I have a community who listens, who can really make a change, make a difference. All you need to do is bring a canned food or a non-perishable item or some kind of a toiletry or, you know what's good? Buy one of those flash drives that you're going to find over the next few days at Walmart or Target or whatever. Bring a flash drive because they're going to need it. Everybody needs something. And there's a lot of people who can't afford it because, again, we just spelled it out for y'all. You know, with the tuition and the hours and the books and all of the stuff that you need in order to become that university student that is empowered to a point, you know, what are you going to take? You know, what's it going to take in order to feed that person? And that's where our listeners come in.
Yes. And we are actually accepting donations right now at Student Engagement Leadership Center at Union West.
106.
112 also. And at the Student Government Association, which is helping us through this whole process, at room Union East 304. So that's on the third floor.
Cheers.
So, yeah, I mean, and the way students can help right now, I mean, when we think about it, like, do I have that extra dollar? Maybe not, because I've been in that situation. But maybe you have one extra scantron. Maybe you have just recently graduated from UTEP and you have a backpack that is in good condition that you're not going to use, notebooks, college ruled paper, pencils, pens.
Sure.
All these little items that you might even have at home, you can go to Walmart and buy college ruled paper right now for 10 cents, I think, or that notebook for 50 cents. You can also donate those. Students are going to need those right now in the fall coming semester.
Or you go to the hotel.
Help us flyer table.
You can be part of the conversation. Use our hashtag Minor Connection. Join us on Facebook. Those little things count. They mean a lot, and being part of the conversation is powerful, because there is power in numbers.
Yes,
I agree. Let me share a story with you. When I was a graduate student at West Texas State in 1976, one of my neighbors from Floydada, just a little town just south of Amarillo and Canyon, north of Lubbock. First generation, none of the family had ever even thought about going to high school, let alone this guy making it to college. And yet, you know, through it all, he never had a square meal. Didn't know what it was all about. And all of us on the floor of the dorm at Gunther Hall, we all adopted him. And so every other day, one of us would take him to breakfast, to lunch, to dinner, so that he would eat, so that he would be able to function, because he had nothing. He had nothing. His family had nothing at home. We found out the hard way when he went home, and one of our dorm people decided to follow him just to see what's going on. I'm telling you, I don't understand how they even made it through. We got a phone call at the dorm. This guy told us what it was all about. All of us scrounged up a lot of money, went to the grocery store and bought food and went to this farm, and we fed these people at least for 1 weekend. We had to feed them, because otherwise they were all going to starve. How could you not? You know, it's very hard to do life as it is and struggle and pay bills and all that. I understand that. But when someone's hungry, and they're willing to just go through the hunger and fight through it all in order to try to make whatever it is academically make it work, it's impossible. The blood sugar goes down. You can't concentrate. You can't think. Your grades go down. You get expelled or suspended because you didn't make the grade, because you're hungry.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
And unfortunately, there is a stigma associated with it, that if you go up to your professor and you say, can I not take this test today? I am so hungry. I cannot afford breakfast. I wonder how many professors would actually let you in with a buy, you know, say, like, I completely understand. Here's an apple, you know, wait 15 minutes and then take a test.
Mm-hmm.
Or I wonder if it's even part of professor culture or part of their job even. We don't even call it culture, to, if they train them to understand that, the complexity of the student life, that, you know, is a student more than just a student, or is it someone coming into a social space who may or may not have certain issues attached, you know, to them in a way.
And this affects even, I think this affects even single parents who are students here at UTEP, where they themselves are going to food insecurity, and maybe their children are going to food insecurity. So we have a complex society here at UTEP, or at any university, that needs to be addressed. And we are often very ignored because, like I said, we are the privileged. We are lucky to be in college. We get those loans, which only means that we're going to be in higher debt when we graduate. So therefore, we'll be food insecure for a while, you know. And there's these things that we have to negotiate currently and as students. And if anybody can help us, it is the community that we are living in, because everybody can do a little bit to help.
Here's another part to that stigma that I was just thinking about while you guys are talking. West Texas State back in the day, which it is now, was a suitcase college. Everybody would come to the university. Everybody would live at the dorm. Part of our living at the dorm came with a food cart. And the amount of money that you could put on that food cart gave you either breakfast and dinner or lunch and dinner, but you had that kind of meal plans, in other words. Well, here at UTEP, we've gone from commuter college thinking finally to suitcase college. You know, we're supposed to be thinking in terms of meals, meal plans, living in the dorms, living at all these great places, but we're not yet at that level that these other suitcase colleges have been at, where they've been able to even award food. It's funny. You've been talking about food privilege. At University of Arizona in 88, they were awarding food scholarships to some of the more I hate to use the word, but more the needy students who really needed that kind of a boost. You know, here's a card. It's kind of like giving them a debit card. And it's good for the whole year, and you can eat, you know, whatever. But once the card's gone, it's gone. And so you really have to budget yourself. But at least they were doing something at the U of A. Here, we're barely growing into it. We've got a lot of growing pains. But that's one of the things that really needs to be put out there, is that we're no longer just a commuter college anymore. And we're a large community that needs to feed students, single parents. We need to feed each other.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it doesn't require, like I said, I don't think it requires much. Students, and it's weird because as students, we sometimes don't even think of ourselves as food insecure sometimes. And it was not until I was taking my anthropology classes and we're learning about this whole nutritious food. It has to be nutritious in order for you to be food secure. And we start learning about this whole diabetes and cholesterol and obesity, which is high, it's high here in El Paso, and how it affects the food security issue. Point is that when we do classwork, a lot of times we say, hey, you know what, let's meet at Village Inn so that we can work on a project. And it has happened to me where I say, oh, you know what, I can't. And it's not because I can't meet there. It's just that because I cannot afford a cup of coffee. Right. And I do not want somebody else to feel bad for me for not being able to afford a coffee. Or I'll see them all ordering food, and then I'm the one with the coffee, and I'm just, like, really hungry. And I'm just like, oh, man.
Yeah. Or they shame you for going to Taco Bell. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Wiener schnitzel's no longer cheap anymore. You know, it's $5.95 for five. Just the beginning of the year, it was five for five. And I bring that up because it triggered something within me on the way back from going to Dollar General with ramen, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I work at the radio station. I'm eating ramen. But I got to thinking about it. It's like, if I'm doing this, how many students who want Wiener Schnitzel can't afford it because they've gone up 95 cents plus tax? So it's gone up a buck. You can't afford that. Okay, so what are you going to do? You know, I understand that prices go up everywhere. You know, Mickey D's has their little dollar menu. Burger King's got the dollar menu. You know, so it's kind of affordable, but kind of not, because now it goes back to your anthropological statement about food awareness. Mm-hmm. What's nutritious about a sausage biscuit versus an apple, an orange, a banana, oatmeal, that kind of a thing?
True. And then you're wondering what's going to fill you up more.
Right.
Because in that situation, I mean, I remember a couple semesters ago, I don't know if Leo feels okay me sharing that story, when we had only like $5. We're like, do we go get some salad or do we go to Taco Bell? And what is more nutritious? We're not even thinking about what's more nutritious. We're thinking about what is going to fill us up so that we can get through that day.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, So then, yeah, we consume the $600 burrito, the 600 calorie burrito.
Sure.
Instead of the $200 calorie salad. Sorry.
That would have been a great salad.
That would have been
no
a
kidding.
Great salad, right?
Yeah. No kidding.
But yeah. Yeah, but then we get shamed for being obese or for being fat or for having diabetes, and we're young people.
Or not being able to afford the food that these other people afford.
Yeah, we don't have cultural buy-in. We're not part of their conversation.
Yeah,
because I'm not shopping at Sprouts.
Yeah, we're bombarded with ads all the time. You should be eating here, should be eating there, you know, this great place where you look at the menu and there's not even dollar signs and little periods and decimals. It's just a number. And I'm like, wow, I have to mortgage a house just for that steak? Really? Holy cow, that's an appetizer. Yeah, and that's just the appetizer, bro. It's like, what the heck is that? You know, honestly, it gets down to – we always talk about the integrity of the minor, the student who comes to UTEP in order to be here and to become great when you guys graduate. We always talk about the integrity of the class. We talk about the amount of education you're getting. But we never talk about the one thing that we're talking about right now. You need food for the soul in order to be able to have the energy to get through every class all the way through. If you don't have it, your grades are going to suffer.
And everything along with it.
Yeah.
It's the pink elephant in the room and no one's really talking about it. But
it's kind of sad.
Yeah, a little bit.
We're talking about it now. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, honestly.
It's progress.
Yeah.
You know, we presented at the Undergraduate Research Initiative last Saturday.
Yeah, with Corey.
With Corey. And we spoke to a couple of professors about our research. We presented our research. And a lot of them were really surprised when we told them the stats.
And they were grad students. So, you can only imagine what kind of hardships they face as grad students transitioning from bachelor's to the professional world in hopes of making better money.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oops, you know, there are more loans and things.
How do they get a hold of you guys?
At utepminorconnection@gmail.com.
Or on Facebook under Minor Connection. Like us, please.
That email address is minorconnection@gmail.com. And their Facebook address is facebook.com/minorconnection. We want to thank our guests, Esther Zapata and Leo Gamboa, for dropping by to share stories and statistics about a topic that you'd rarely hear about, the need to feed UTEP minor students in their time of need.